I apologize, I got a little frog in my throat this morning, so bear with me. Pastor Dixon suggested that I just channel my inner Justin Stabell, so, you know, pray for me, yeah. Well, grace and peace and mercy are yours this day through our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Just to recap a little bit of this brief story of Jesus' baptism from the Gospel of Mark. It goes like this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Well, it's the first Sunday in Lent. We're encountering this sermon series lined up with Got Questions. And I drew the straw for today. So why do we baptize babies? We're going to get into that in a minute. But one of the things that we do with our confirmation kids, every time they come here and gather on Wednesday nights, downstairs here, over on Wednesday night, is we remind each other about what our baptism means. And we do that by using some hand actions, so this requires some audience participation. All right? You prepared? So go ahead and make the sign of the cross on your forehead and say, "Remember, you are a child of God. Remember, you are a child of God." Good. Give yourself a good squeeze. Say, "Remember, you are loved. Remember, you are loved." Now, rub elbows with somebody next to you, and if you're not by somebody, you can do a long-distance one with me. Say, "Remember, you are not alone." Okay. Let's put that all together now, okay? Remember, you're a child of God. Remember, you're loved. Remember, you're not alone. Ready? Remember, you are a child of God. Remember, you are loved. Remember, you are not alone. Very good. We tell the 7th and 8th graders that, or I like to say that if you don't learn anything else in 2 years, if you just learn that, we'll confirm you. We'll still confirm you. After all, what do you need to hear in your life of faith? And you remember being a 7th or 8th grader? How good is it to hear that when you're in that age, right? You are a child of God, you're loved, and you're not alone. A couple of stories of baptisms. One of the privileges of this job is I've gotten to witness quite a few of them and even had a hand, literally, in splashing a few. The first baptism I ever witnessed was my own. I was 3 weeks old. I don't remember it. But my mom and dad were there, and my godparents were there, and they tell me that it did, in fact, happen. They said, "Yes, Charlie, you did hear. You did feel it. The water got your hair wet." We were there, too. And then not long after that, my sister Kristen came along. She's about 2 years younger than I am, and I'm told that when she was brought to the font in the little tiny church, here I was as big brother, and I had a teddy bear with me, and during the entire baptismal service, I was throwing that teddy bear up into the air in the front of the church, causing a ruckus. But not even her older nincompoop brother could stop the word from getting to her. It was still Kristen. "You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." In my first church, for a couple of months, I was in Northfield, Minnesota, and we had this young man who was attending. His name was Yan, and Yan was from China. I think the story was that he had gotten a work visa to come over and meet with relatives, and he was staying and associated with folks and relatives and connections who owned the Chinese restaurant in town. Well, we had a few households in our congregation who had spent considerable time in China, knew some of the language, some of the culture, and they somehow, ordering food or what, ran into Yan and invited him to church. He had been a part of a Christian community in China, but he had never been baptized because it was kind of dangerous for him to do so there. And so there in Northfield, Minnesota, of all places, surrounded by mostly white-bred Midwesterners, Yan was baptized as like a 20-something. Or one Christmas in my second church, there was a family that had a bunch of kids who had never been baptized, siblings and cousins. And so after church on Christmas morning, after hearing about how God comes to meet us in an infant born in a manger, We gathered around a big font. It's about this big, you know, and excuse me. And then baptized 6 kids, ranging from infant to like middle elementary school. There was water everywhere. It was a mess, and it was awesome. Or just earlier this year at Mount Olivet, one of my good friends, they just had their first daughter, Ella, 5 months old, asked if I would do it. How cool is that? At the same time, we had a high schooler in our community who hadn't been baptized, and she was hoping to be baptized as well. I said, well, let's get together. Let's do it at the same time. Ella, 5 months, and get this, the high schooler's name, Ellie. So Ellie, 16 years old, and Ella, 5, 6 months old, baptized on the same day. And I have a picture of Ellie holding this stranger's baby, Ella. But now, of course, they're sisters in faith. And then I thought about the demeanor of which people come to the font. I'm kind of thinking primarily about infants, but maybe it deals with all of us. There have been times when I've witnessed a person, a little one, being baptized, and they slept through the whole thing. Maybe a proclamation to all of us that even as we sleep, God's promise is there for you. Or sometimes they seem to be okay and all chill and everything, and then that water hits their head, and they see this knucklehead preacher standing over them, and their eyes just go wide like, uh-oh, what's going on now? Or better yet, Pastor Dixon and I have witnessed those folks who are kind of done with everything for the day. An infant who is angry and ornery and doesn't want to behave and is crying and doesn't know what's going on and which end is up or nothing. And of course, even in that spot, they hear, you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What about you? You ever get ornery or angry or kind of just done with the world some days, frustrated or sad or just want peace? I'd say that's one of the most meaningful times to remember again. You are a child of God, you're loved, and you're not alone. Why do we baptize babies? There are a few scripture references that help us with this. There's that story of Jesus when people are bringing kids to Jesus and the disciples start speaking sternly either to the kids or the parents or both of them, like, no, don't do it. And Jesus says, no, no, let the children come to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then later in the book of Acts, after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the disciples go out to share the good news, to share the word of a God who loves them. And we read there that entire households were baptized, not just the older ones, the whole house. And then, of course, we proclaim in Jesus' baptism. It could be said that in Jesus' baptism, God is showing us what baptism means. After all, one of the greatest reasons we baptize babies is because we believe that it is truly, purely God's gift and promise, not our own. Take Jesus and his baptism. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't say anything at his baptism. He makes no public declaration of faith. He speaks no words. He makes no promise to love and serve God always. Rather, John baptized him, and what happened? The heavens opened, the dove descended, and a voice, who spoke? God, you are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. That's what baptism is about. God puts God's name on you in baptism. You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I like to have fun with that when I teach kids and parents. You know, I ask kids, what kind of stuff do you put your name on? Toys, so my brother doesn't get them, right? Maybe your homework. I used to put it on my baseball glove. Yes, adults, what you put your name on? Tupperware, right? And why do you do it? So you know who it belongs to. Why does God put God's name on you? Well, God knows that you're his, God's already. But who needs to remember? We do. to remember whose we are. That's what baptism is about. Baptism is something to have faith in when you're unsure. Often we as humans would rather think we're in control of our own life all the time. We want to achieve on our own. It's easy for us to get it mixed up. And to think that God's promise is reliant on us doing something, or that we have to say or do or believe or choose something in order to get God's love. And this isn't to say that baptism of an elder or an older kid or an elder isn't bad. That's excellent. Whenever baptism happens, that's the right time. It's good. But notice that a baptism is never something that a person does to themselves. Rather, it's done to them, or better yet, for them. Baptism isn't done by you, it's done for you. It's not one's public declaration about how great their faith is. It's God's public declaration about you. Rather than a trophy to carry around of one's own right choice, rather it's a grounding, a foundation of which to cling when you're not sure. As Pastor Dixon read the words from Jesus, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And then we all become living reminders of that for each other. One more story. When I was in seminary, I had the chance to travel with a few classmates, and we went to Guatemala to study amid a Roman Catholic mission that was there in the volcanoed hills of Guatemala out in the countryside. Father Greg Schaefer had been there 40 years working at the mission there, working with the people in the community, drawing relationships, ministering. And on one Sunday a month, it was the practice that was Baptism Sunday. So later in the afternoon, anybody that needed to be baptized or wanted to have their children baptized could come to and would know that that was the time and place. And so Father Greg invited all of us to be there. And so we huddled in the back, kind of not trying not to get in the way, us Lutherans in the back. And we watched how the priest, Father Greg, went around and did all the Roman Catholic blessings and anointings. And I should note, on that day, no less than 20 mothers brought their infants in to be baptized. So we went around doing all the anointings, and then one by one, they, like an assembly line, they lined up at the font. And each one, Father Greg said to the mother, "What's the name now?" And then said the name, "You are baptized." And then one more thing, Greg came up the aisle and without us really knowing what was going on, spoke in Spanish to the mothers that were there and said, "See these people in the back here? They're all training to become ministers, to share the word of Christ with other people." He said to them in Spanish, "It would be good if they blessed your children too." And so these Guatemalan mothers brought their infants to us Lutherans in the back. And we prayed for them. That's what baptism is. It's a gift of God sent to all of us to remember each and every day. It happens once, but remembered every day in our lives, even and perhaps especially when we doubt, perhaps when things aren't going the way we hope, when the world looks dim. And we remember together again the promise that our God has for us. Why would we baptize babies? So you can get that from the start. And so perhaps you remember with me and all of our confirmation students, will you do it one more time with me? Ready? Remember you are a child of God. Remember you are loved. Remember you're not alone. Amen.